The Spanish announce table.
All right, Tom, the post-WrestleMania buzz is worn off. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about it, but...
Well, the post-WrestleMania buzz has fallen off because that's how quick things move in the world of pro wrestling. But hopefully the superstar shakeup buzz is still going into effect, as we'll get into it a little bit later. But some people were moved roster spots or roster shows, but then went back. And yeah, so there was like a part two of the superstar shakeup happened this week. And again, we'll get into that in a little bit later. But before we do, this past weekend was also Easter. In the Rainer household, any fun, exciting events that were had during this Easter weekend?
Yeah, we didn't really do much for the Easter thing. We typically don't, right? We're not. I mean, we got the kids, you know, candy and stuff like that, and did that kind of thing. But we don't typically go deep into the Easter. The club is in full swing. We talked about that before. You know what I mean? The comedy club, working the comedy club there. Did that over the weekend. We got some mowing done out here on the ranch. It's that time of season now, right? Out there doing all the outdoorsy stuff, doing all that stereotypical man stuff, right? And then tonight we had the daughter's choir concert. Did that.
Or woman stuff, because fun fact over here in the Sedlick-McCullough household, because of neck injury – man shit is being taken care of by the woman in the household.
Oh, yeah.
Emily Sedlick, because I can't do it.
Oh yeah, my wife does. Typically, she'll probably do more of the mowing than I do. Usually, you know, she works out of the home, so she finds more time to get it done. You know, and she likes.
You know what's so sad though is so I'm in this neck brace, so I really can't push and pull on mower, so
right.
I can't really do that. And we don't have a yard big enough for a riding lawnmower.
Right.
And I couldn't make turns as it is, but then Emily is so highly allergic to pollen and ragweed and all of that, that, she might have to, the second go around, for the season, have to wear like a mask. So we're going to be that household in the neighborhood who wears a mask.
I've thought about it, 'cause I'm literally out here mowing hay fields. And at some point, like when I'm making our
trails,
but
your neighbors aren't, you know, next to you, you don't look like,
you'd see some of my neighbors would be wearing it, right? Because they ain't messing around with it either. Yeah, I get terrible out here because I literally am mowing some hay fields here, and I suffer from hay fever, so isn't that fun? So did a bunch of that, right? And then the daughter's choir concert was tonight, and that's a, we're getting a late start on the recording. Good, man, it was fun. You know, those are always, you see these kids kind of year over year when you stay in the same school and stuff like that, which we hadn't actually. This is only our second year here, but I got to kind of see how they're, what they did last year versus this year. So that was neat. And then, now we're here ready to talk wrestling. What'd you do this week?
Well, hold on. Is this a passion of hers, or is this more of a requirement? You know, because sometimes you have to do something, right? It's like a basketball team or a choir.
You know,
or something
she likes
like
doing this. We've asked her that because she's not. She doesn't seem to be like eager. She's not doing solos. She's not what I mean? Like on the subgroups where they get out there and they bounce around. So we even asked her that tonight. We were like, hey, is this something you want to do? Like you know what I mean? You signed up for this. We didn't,
Yeah.
We were like, are you doing this to do this? She's like, oh no, yeah. Like we're like, okay, all right, well, there you go. So yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good to know that she's, enjoying her youth as it is.
Yeah, and she has a bunch of friends in that crew. You know what I mean? That's usually a subgroup. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
The choir group is definitely a subgroup in the school system in America, for
sure.
What I did, I'm, as I mentioned, still in the neck brace. So I'm really at the mercy of Emily, who drives me everywhere. So it's not really much that I had planned because, I'm not going to say, hey, I'll hang out with my family. You go hang out with yours when we only have one car that can take us somewhere. And so we went over to her parents' house. Her brother came down from Omaha, brought the kids in. We did like a little scavenger hunt. The kids set up. It was a reverse scavenger hunt where the niece and nephew hit all the eggs, and then it was like whoever had the they did a 4-round Easter egg hunt to where you do it the first time around, whoever got the most then got an advantage in the next room, and then whoever got the there, you know, and so on and so forth. It was fun. It was the first time that the brother and sister-in-law from Omaha saw me in the neck brace. So there was a lot of like, so what happened? I was like, okay, well, yada, yada, yada.
Was this also the first time they knew of it, some of them?
No, everyone knew about it because there's a family text string. And so the day that it happened, Emily was corresponding with everyone in the immediate family saying, like, Thomas got hurt, he fell, blah, 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 blah. So they were aware of it, but this was the first time, you know, you can tell someone, hey, I hurt my neck. And then when you see, especially me in this type of neck collar, then it turns into, oh goodness, so how bad is it, da, da, da. And it was fine, like they didn't, you know, point and laugh kind of thing. I wasn't like an outcast, but they wanted to know some things,
right?
So we did that on Saturday. Sunday kind of just stayed in. I was feeling pretty bad this weekend. This was I thought so the Thursday or Friday night, I don't remember the night, but I had thought, you know, when you're dead asleep and you feel something, you don't know what it is, right?
Sure.
And longtime listeners of this show can hearken back to the times of when I got bit by a spider and the health scare I had through that.
Yeah, you almost died.
I did. Remember, my torso was double the size. I was red. I was itchy. I went to emergent care, and they kept saying, like, if you would have waited, you would have died. That was said to me, like, two different times during the emergent care visit. So yeah, I've gone through a lot of health scares through this podcast.
I remember telling you very specifically, like, dude, that doesn't seem right. You should see a doctor. Like, you shouldn't be swelling in your arm.
Yeah, because I let it go for like 3 weeks.
You even said, you were like, nah, something like, you're like, my stepmom's a nurse. She'll have some like pills. They're expired probably, but it'll be all right. And I was like, dude, go to the doctor.
Yeah, I was like, come on. Nothing can be that bad. It's a damn spider.
I think I said verbatim what you told me too. I wasn't making any of that up.
Yeah. And so flash forward to this past weekend, in the dead of sleep, I thought something was like crawling in my neck collar, like inside of it.
Oh, God.
And so I go smacking on my damn neck, which, fun fact, you probably shouldn't do if you have a neck injury. And so, Saturday and Sunday, I was in pretty rough shape. I'm feeling okay now, but yeah, I hurt myself because of a prior incident, thinking that that was having a case number two of the spider bite, but it just happened to be some like hair, because you can't cut your hair when you're in a neck collar, right? Because it comes up to the back of your head, comes in the middle of the back of your head. So, you know, unless I'm growing a mullet, which, you know, whatever. So my hair is growing longer than it ever usually is. And then on top of that, I'm can't shave. So I'm growing a neck beard like
can't
none
shave
other.
At all, huh? You can't.
Yeah. I mean, I could try, but it's going to be difficult. You know what I mean? Because think about yourself shaving. You raise up, you move over, you know.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe like an electrical, maybe you could sit there and just kind of, you know.
Yeah, but then getting underneath the neck.
Well, yeah, you'd still have some, like, but you could maybe
right,
at least.
Yeah, and that's the part that sucks. The face is fine. The face is spotty.
Now that you say it, man, you sure do look like, I mean, you almost look like, what's his name? Arquette. You almost look like David Arquette right now with your beard going on.
Yeah, I keep telling people that I look like a kid's drawing of their father who has a beard.
Mm.
Like, if you were to ask a kid to draw their father who has a beard, they would draw what I look like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
So got
it
that.
Really is, it really is like you have two separate mustaches that is separated from your soul patch, that is separated from, like, your chin strap. It's really odd. But there is fangs on the chin strap going up, like it wants to connect to your two eyebrow mustaches there. Yeah, man, people, we should have been doing video for this one.
Yeah,
we never could quite figure the videos out well if anybody was religiously watching those, you know.
No one
all two of you
for it either.
All two of you that were watching those, you know, sorry.
By the way, though, before we get into the news of the wrestling world and then the week that was in WWE, which maybe, you know, flash forward this time next year, we're doing the week that was in AEW and WWE. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say hello to all of our new Facebook fans, mm-hmm. do not understand to this day what happened. Posted one photo. Through that one photo from an amazing artist who you can see in the link that I put it on, I think our Instagram page, because that was the original post and it was shared to the Facebook. But through that one post, we got 108 new likes this past weekend. That's so crazy. Hello yeah, we, to everyone.
We don't put any money into this. We don't boost social media posts. We don't.
We actually always say no to that. But organically, we got 108 and counting, 108 as of this recording, new likes on Facebook. So thank you and hello to everyone who hopefully is checking out an episode. We'll see from the numbers. If you are not a fan or like our page, go check that out, Spanish Announce Table on Facebook, and then Table Show at Twitter, and then tweet the table on Instagram. All the fun things that we kind of randomly kick up on from here and there.
Tom, before we get into the wrestling again, real quick, then it is nice of Emily to take you around because you can't move around. But it must be. Did you guys have to outfit to fit the wheelchair? Or
I'm not in a wheelchair.
Oh, I mean, oh, okay. I mean, you know, I just figured with the neck thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's an ordeal every time. So the way we do this is she has to carry my backpack because I work for a small business company. So we take our computers home with us because you just never know, right? So you take your computers home with you, and I'm in a salary position, so you never know what'll come up, right? So I have a backpack. It weighs about 12 pounds. I can't carry anything over 5 right now, yada, yada. Jeez. So the way it works in the morning is she'll carry my backpack. I carry the coffees. She unlocks the door. She puts the backpack in the back seat. I hand her the coffees. I open up my own door, and then I sit in there. She hands me back the coffees. I put it in the console, and then she shuts the door and then walks around. That's her routine. Yeah. And then we get to where I go to work, and she'll walk up the backpack to the third floor with me. Well, we take the elevator, but we'll go to the third floor. She helps me unpack, and then she goes on about her day. And then picks me up when she's done.
Yeah, not in a wheelchair. Tom forgot the first rule of improv is yes and, but you know, we'll just roll with it. We'll move on with the show.
I didn't realize we're doing improv here, Comedy Club guy. You do 2 weeks of sound at a comedy club, and now we got to be all, hitting improv.
Yeah. Hey,
classes.
They got their liquor license finally at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. You know, the wheels of government move slow, as we've talked about. So anybody want to go check that out? It's a little bit more of a fun time.
Do they do improv? Like, give us a location.
He doesn't have anything like that right now. No. They will have an open mic night. I don't know if those are up and running yet either. I'd have to check out their Facebook page also after you subscribe to ours and like it if you haven't already. Of course, but more to come, more to follow. They're still kind of mid opening because they don't have like their full health license yet to open the kitchen and all that kind of jazz because they're waiting on blah blah blah. You got to get all the inspections and finish and all that. Yeah.
Improv though is always fun to go to.
It is
to
so
make
fun.
So uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Give us a location, Ferguson. Right. Oh, okay. How about you? Give us a celebrity, Bill Cosby. Someone else.
Yeah.
Hitler.
Yeah, I stumped the guy. I gave him. They were like, "What's something uncomfortable that you'd have to say something and be like." How do I tell my parents they're adopted? And they were like, I was like, yeah, fucking do that.
Right? That's a good one.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the guy was like, he did something, but it absolutely wasn't that, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then they just moved on. I was like, yeah, that guy sucks.
You know, another thing that I've been doing, because the medication that I'm on makes my brain just go in every corner of my brain that I don't like to visit. And I come up with these weird questions. Here's the one that I came up with today at work that I presented to the room. Is butter a condiment?
Yeah, right?
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Sure. A lot of people will dip things in butter, right? Your seafood stuff, right?
You spray it on a – or you spread, spread it on a bread.
Some people spray it on their bread.
Yeah, some people spray it.
Yeah, that might not be butter, but whatever. Yeah. We're doing, right? Yeah.
Another one I did last week is Cheeto a chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Everybody always, whenever we've asked anybody that, you get one of two responses. Yeah, of course, dumbass. Or John, I don't know. Why the fuck would you ask me something like that?
That's fun. Right? Those are always the fun ones. So there you go, listeners of Spanish Announce Table. Mm-hmm. If you want to stump or give your coworkers just a head scratcher, ask them one of those two questions. Or you could ask the most common one of all those food type of things. Ask them, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one too. All right, so we got some news, some wrestling type news. There was a one that you brought up here before off air. Why don't we get into that story?
Yeah, so over the Easter weekend, it was reported that 0-2 professional fighter CM Punk, Phil Brooks, returned to pro wrestling, because that's what he's better known for, returned to pro wrestling in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in front of 350 people under a mask. He jumped in. He stopped the heel from hitting the baby face with the chair, hit him with his GTS, and the crowd went mum. Man, did they sit on their hands. That's the one. That was my biggest takeaway from this. Now, I don't think this is a bad idea. I actually think it's pretty cool. But from that initial reaction from the video, I mean, I didn't even hear anyone clap. Now, again, he's under a mask, so you may not know. And, you know, it's 350 people in, God bless it, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So you're not really thinking CM Punk's going to make his return. However, that was my biggest first reaction from it. But what do you think of, let's just say, now it's been reported since this video that CM Punk has actually done this a few different times. So let's just go with that myth, right? Let's run with the myth that was reported that CM Punk has done 3 to 5 of these little run-ins, GTS, get out. What's your thoughts? You think it's cool? You think it's stupid? Give me your instant reaction there, Tim.
All of my reactions are tainted by my overarching view of Phil Brooks / CM Punk, which is massively just underwhelmed, and I just don't like his attitude and just don't care. Like, I don't miss him at all.
Well,
right? You know what I mean?
Well, we can get into that. I think we're going to actually get into this similar conversation with Bray Wyatt when we get into the next segment. Okay. But I will say this. Phil Brooks does not seem like someone I would be friends with. I don't seem, you know, any interest in hanging out with that person. However, that CM Punk character, and you can go back to when he was an active wrestler in WWE, I was the biggest fan of. When we met Kofi Kingston, the first WWE wrestler, in that picture, I'm wearing a CM Punk shirt. I can separate the art from the artist.
I can, although I still never even was that into the CM Punk
that
character.
But I was.
I
like, now let's fast forward to what we're talking about now. I like that idea because I think it's a new, it's a new wrinkle on pro wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most influential shooting stars in pro wrestling history is Andy Kaufman, right? How he came in, the whole storyline with Jerry Lawler, the women's champion, you know, the champion of women's professional wrestling, all of that fun stuff. And then outside of pro wrestling, he came up with his own alter ego, Tony Clifton, who was a stand-up comedian that was him, but then it became someone else. And then Tony Clifton showed up at Andy Kaufman's funeral, but we all thought that Tony Clifton was always Andy Kaufman, so it created this confusion. I like that if you can adapt that, you know, what are we doing? Who is this? Am I getting work?
It's like
is this
Mr. America.
Right. It's Mr. America. Yeah, exactly. CM Punk is copying actually Hulk Hogan. That's what we're really seeing.
Right.
But if he can do that as like a traveling, he shows up at this Milwaukee show. He comes to a Journey Pro show here in Kansas City. He goes to a Reality of Wrestling in Houston, Texas. And again, it's this just weird character that we think is him, but we can't prove that it's him. You could have it to where he gets unmasked and it turns into be Colt Cabana if they're still friends, or who Ace Steel, you know. It could be one of those guys who gets, you know, unmasked.
Ace Steel at the Performance Center.
Yeah, Ace Steel and good friend of the show. He's going to be at Journey Pro, I think, coming up with Jeremy White taking on Jimmy Jacobs. That'll be a good fun show to take.
Neat. When is that?
Yeah,
one,
May 9th. May 9th.
Am I going to be able to make that? What night? What day of the week is that?
I believe it's Thursday.
Can't do it.
Oh, well, great. I'll be there.
Will you?
Yeah, who knows? I'm probably not. I can't drive. You think Emily's going to go? But I like that idea, right? Doesn't that sound fun, where you can go to a show and you don't know if the run-in is CM Punk, some local guy that you've been watching for years, or somebody else? Like, I like that.
That's true, too.
It
could become like the Bill Murray story of running, of like independent wrestling.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
And then
why
we hung out
Bill
with CM
Murray?
Punk all night, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe that then turns the narrative in the IWC from CM Punk being kind of this disgruntled curmudgeon who we kind of like, hey, man, get over yourself, into this beloved, like, hey, he showed up in Poughkeepsie, and then he showed up in Phoenix.
It's always
and
Poughkeepsie.
He's just hanging out. Right, yeah.
It's always,
I don't know where
Poughkeepsie,
Poughkeepsie is. Yeah. It's just a fun word to me.
Right, yeah. Poughkeepsie, or what's another one? It's always like, what's another one people will throw out? Like Des Moines, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Rochester. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea. So I'm hoping he can maybe run with this a little bit more. I don't want him to be seen as much, but if that becomes a thing, then maybe my opinion changes of Phil Brooks. But like I said, I've always been a fan of that CM Punk character, and I like this. This is something that adds a fun element of surprise to, you never know where the masked CM Punk will show up. So what else you got for us?
The story that stuck out to me this week is the Goldust character has been retired.
Oh, it
or
has
so it seems.
Not.
Or so it would say. Yeah, so we'll see this guy back in WWE someday, right, as Goldust, yeah?
Of course.
But wrestling? But maybe not wrestling.
Yeah, and right. What I mean by, like, now, who knows, right? I could be completely off because AEW could take off. He never needs to go back to WWE, right. You know, something like that. I just feel with that working relationship that they've had for so long, it seems like it ended
30 years. I mean,
right. And it seemed like it ended peacefully. There was no CM Punk type of ill feelings towards each other. I would not be shocked if whatever his hometown is, Houston, Texas, Austin, something like that, they're at Monday Night Raw and Bray Wyatt in a backstage segment gets spooked by Goldust, who's just hanging out, right? Like, that would not be something I would I could easily see that happening in 2 years. So that's why I'm not saying, like, this Goldust character is retired. Now, to your point, do I think that Goldust is going to be wrestling Dean Ambrose in AEW? No, but Dustin Rhodes.
Now, here's the thing, man. I mean, this guy's got one of the longest running in-ring careers of note. I mean, he's been going.
You
want to
hear how long he's been doing this? Yeah. I just like pro wrestling, and sometimes I like to torture myself. I watched a 38-minute video on YouTube of every pinfall title change of the WCW championship from 91 to 2001. And when Ron Simmons won the title in 91, the first person who congratulated him was Dustin Rhodes.
God. 91.
Yeah.
And that's,
I think, no, it was 92. Excuse me. It was 92. But still, it was started in 91. But yeah, he was already on the roster in 91.
Yeah. I mean, that's 27 years ago. And that's, he'd already, like, you don't just show up there without having already been wrestling.
He had already made some appearances in WWE when he was in the crowd getting attacked by, I can't remember who, but then Dusty Rhodes was coming to his aid. I can't even remember who the guy that was attacking. Maybe it was Bad News Brown. It was someone like that.
But he's in great shape. And he, you know what I mean? By all means, is going to go over there and be wrestling in ring. He could be going, upwards of 40.
Yeah, and to further the announcement of the Goldust is retiring, as you mentioned, he's in AEW. He's going to be in a match with Cody Rhodes. I will say this about that. I think it's good because of the age, right? Like, you never know if, you know, like you said, he is in good shape, but
a knee could break. Let's get this match out of the way. We haven't had.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Right. But we kind of have, but we haven't had this Dustin versus Cody thing. My thing, and we talked about it when AEW was forming, but nepotism can get you in a little bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. And so you already have Cody's running this with his best friends, the Young Bucks, and then he added another good friend in Kenny, and now his first match is his brother, and then his wife is running the women's division. It's like, hey, man, you're putting a lot of your own eggs in this one basket. Like, if you suck, you're not the only one affected here. Like, you're all out of money. So, I, yeah. You know, again, I hope it's awesome. I am exhausted from the machine of WWE. I'm looking for an alternative. Some things are hitting with me, but not consistently. I'm hoping that AEW is that consistent alternative that I run to. So I'm hoping for the best. However, as an outsider looking in, I say, Cody's in charge, right? Like, we're air quotes here. Cody's in charge. And then his wife is in charge of the women. And then his best friends are in charge of, you know, some aspects of the promotion, and then his first matches with his brother, man.
That's yeah, it's a lot. It's really a lot. I mean, but yes, I hear you on the needing an alternative, and we're going to get into it more into the next segment when we roll into Raw and SmackDown, just cause yeah, it's yeah, we'll get into that. Unless you got anything to wrap up the Gold Dust thing, we can just kind of roll out into a break and then we can get into that about WWE, and maybe we can discuss why we might be so eager for an alternative.
Yeah, the only thing that I will add is I haven't been following too closely. I watch the Road to Double or Nothing videos if they come through my recommended feed on YouTube. I don't know how, you know, speaking about the Cody match, I don't know if that's the main event. I still think the main event's going to be Jericho and Omega 2, but that could be me guessing. If that's the case, then I'm okay a little bit more with Cody versus Dustin Rhodes, right? Like, if that's not the main event, okay, right? But I don't know. You could have had a more shocking heel turn that Dustin, you know, congratulates Cody on a great first show and then turns on him, or, you know, something like that, like a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn at NXT, something yeah, similar to that.
Story, but, we keep saying that, yeah. But they don't have a whole lot of stages to tell the story at the moment.
That's true, too. So, hopefully that's not the main event, and that would make me a little bit happier because, again, nepotism kind of makes me shy away from any type of product, especially entertainment. But, yeah, right. That was my last point.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, we will take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown and get into all the who's and the what's and the ins and the outs and, you know, whatever else you want to talk about when we come back to the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact, Lita has wins against Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, Kurt Angle, Edge, Christian, Shane McMahon, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and John Cena.
The Spanish Announce Table.
Tom, Monday Night Raw kicked off this weekend, and it was a show that reportedly was finalized script-wise 4 minutes before it went to air. So, you know, that's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? To me, again, that could have just been someone saying, I heard from a disgruntled reporter that everything like could have, you know, Vince could have been like, I know what I'm doing the morning of, and the writers are trying to make him happen. All the while, Vince is like, I know what I'm doing. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. So those reports I kind of take with a grain of salt because you never know. You never know where the information's coming from. Also, Dave Meltzer, if you listen to any of Conrad Thompson's podcast with Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, Tony Schiavone, all the other ones, there's a lot of, you know, Meltzer said that was fucking bullshit. Remember Mabel was the third guy?
Yeah, so I think Alvarez is the one who first said this one, but I think some other people.
But you
people,
know what I'm saying.
But yeah,
I'm just saying,
but no, you're right.
Speaking.
You're right. And there's that too, yeah. That like somebody who reported it might have been somebody who thinks they are in charge and on a need to know basis,
yeah, exactly.
And they're not right.
Like,
and
exactly.
They didn't get the updates that shit was already done.
Already good.
Right.
But
yeah.
The show happened. One thing that I was happy to see is, if you remember last week when we recapped the Superstar Shakedown, I said, or Shake Up, I said, hey, AJ Styles, let's just pull the trigger. Like, let's just get him in the number one contender match. I want to see AJ versus Seth Rollins. Everyone wants to see it. And by God, they listen to the podcast because what happened? AJ Styles is your new number one contender against Seth Rollins. Now, I say that it Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles for the Premier Championship, the Universal title. What's your first reaction to that?
You know, I agree with you in that, yeah, everybody wants to see that. I mean, everybody. I don't really care to see it. I don't. I'm not really feeling either guy right now. Am I weird for that? Like,
yeah.
There's just nothing to
it. How much does AJ Styles have to do for you to for you to finally get behind this guy? He does everything since forever, and you're always just like, nah. He does the beat up John Cena, and you're like, nah.
Yeah, no, that was
fun. And then he does the Bullet Club in New Japan, and you're like, nah. Then he comes over and kills Dean Ambrose, and you're, nah. What do you got against this guy?
Wait a minute. AJ Styles killed Dean Ambrose?
Remember when he did
I haven't seen Dean Ambrose in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen Dean Ambrose. Of you?
Yeah, so.
No, but when he won the title, and then when he won the title from Jinder Mahal.
No,
so
I agree that, yeah, this will be good. It's also, you know, it's face versus face with no story. So it's
now
just kind of like,
that's
the
part I can understand, right? When you go, hey, two faces with no story are going to wrestle. Well, that's fucking vanilla ice cream. And vanilla ice cream's fine, but it fucking adds some stuff to
but
it and it makes it better.
What I feel about both guys right now is vanilla ice cream, which somebody's got to be it. So I guess now we're going to get the fight for who is, right? We're going to establish who that is, the pecking order for who is the white meat baby face. And I think they're going to go with Rollins because I think they just gave it to him and they're going to build the show around him.
Well, and that's even better because remember the last time AJ Styles turned heel, he did it against John Cena and we got to beat up John Cena. And then we got the Bullet Club and we got fun promos and we got John Cena's armband as a headband for AJ Styles and all the fun
stuff. Maybe
we'll
get some
cool
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for an AJ Styles heel turn.
No, and the match will be great, of course.
Yeah, and I'm also, on the flip side of that coin, I'm all for the snarly, antagonizing laugh from Seth Rollins when he was a heel and all the bullshit that he did with J&J Security. So I'm cool with the Seth Rollins heel turn as well. I just want something to happen. But what I was thinking as they did this match kind of so soon, one thing it says to me, and maybe I'm just reading into this a little bit too much, kind of trying to peek behind the curtain, but it feels like even though AJ Styles did re-sign a new contract, it almost feels like, hey, we need to get these matches in while we can, right? So, I mean, he's done the matches with Roman Reigns. He did the matches with John Cena. He just did a match with Randy Orton. So it's like we're checking off the boxes of AJ Styles was in WWE, but did he wrestle fill in the blank? And I feel like with them just going right to AJ, or excuse me, with Seth Rollins, it feels like maybe that's the goal behind the scenes is let's get AJ Styles in all of these quote unquote dream matches, right? So like I said last week with where I want to see him go, I'd like to see him turn heel. Now I said him go up against Finn Balor because that's just a built-in storyline for the IWC marks that'll get all excited and too sweet their dick off. But apparently that's gone on the wayside. But I would still like to see AJ Styles and Ricochet, right? Like that should be the next program for AJ just to get this in while, you know, everything's cooking with fire here.
Yeah. Boy, they sure took a long time to get there. Now, I like the idea of the two triple threat matches to determine, you know, two guys who then face off for a one-on-one. Like, I like that. That fills up a show nice. And that's always a good way to show off talent. But, man, the opening segment to get there was felt like everybody was forgetting their lines. It was just, I don't know.
Not even, yeah, that on top of, again, let's treat this as kayfabe is one of my new phrases in Spanish Announce Table 2.0, but let's treat this as kayfabe is just the first six guys to fucking walk out getting the shot. Like Triple H should be saying, here's who I think are the top six competitors and they're going to face off in two triple threats. And then he should be the one announcing it. Now you could have a heel say like, hey, I'm not giving you the opportunity to say someone else's name. I'm putting my foot down and I'm in this match. Okay, we can go with one of those guys saying that. But yeah, it was just hit this guy's music. Now hit that guy's music. Now hit this guy's music. And hit that guy's music. And as the audience there might have been cool, because I don't know if they saw the graphic of the two triple threats, and maybe those were all surprises, right? Like, wow, Samoa Joe. Wow, Rey Mysterio. But to us, the TV viewer, we were told that those were the two triple threat matches. So then it just became this, you know, the dog and pony show where they just fucking walk out and trot and say their two words.
Right. And I, this is, you know, the other show, but like I liken it back to last week when Paige was like, oh, my tag team. And then Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose come out and they're like, oh, You know, and they thought it was them. Yeah. Well, if we're keeping that kayfabe, if I think this is a real show, I still understand there's a production truck going on, right? They don't just have their music queued up, right? Like,
yeah.
So
that's
that's a
Pavlov's dog thing, right? Yeah, you have to hear the music for them to go. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to let it go. The pop, you got to get the pop. But it's that kind of thing, right? It's this like. It's like, oh, well, I'm just randomly putting my, you know, like, I'm just going to come in here and I'm in the match. Well, then why did they have your music ready to go? Why is nobody, like, suddenly beating you up there to stand there waiting? You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. Yeah, it's odd.
And that's that segment specifically I had a little bit more of a problem with than usual because you had Triple H in the ring.
Right.
Right, like, you had the authority figure who could say, I'm the one calling the shots and here are the participants. Now, typically, if Triple H isn't in the ring, then you kind of go like, well, I guess whatever. We'll just call a spade and just live with it. But you could have done something with the authority figure, even though they're not doing the authority figure thing anymore. But you had the decision maker who could have said, I'm introducing these people to you, Seth. Here's who could potentially be facing you at Money in the Bank. And then said Baron Corbin. Yeah. And, you know, like that would have made a little bit more logistic sense.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go with a heel, and I thought they were going to go with either Corbin or McIntyre. And I thought they could have missed the boat on Corbin to just continue the heat of people just hating the like, why is he here in this spot?
I fucking love how much I hate Baron Corbin.
Right.
I do, too. Yeah. And then the little details of whatever city they're in, he's that city's favorite son. Fuck off, dickweed.
I noticed that because, like, I think it was, like, 1 week, like, they said it, and they were like, it was Chicago or whatever, the first time they did it, and I was like, bullshit. I was like, that dude's from Kansas City. I was like, they start building him from Chicago now? And then, like, the next week he did it, and I was like, oh, I get it. And I was like, yeah, that's
great.
Fun.
Yeah, and so I like that he, like, I really don't like him. It's not like the Kevin Owens thing where Kevin Owens is kind of cool and I wouldn't mind hanging out with him. No, I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
I fucking hate him.
So, okay, so the first match, though, was Joe Styles and Mysterio. I like Joe's promo, man, coming out and he's like, you know, Becky's got the, you know, the two belts. He's like, I got big shoulders. Let's do this, right? Like, let's go. Which, that would have been a fun match, too. I would have enjoyed that.
All of those guys I would have thought were a fun match with Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I thought, first off, coolest Styles clash of all time, catching Rey Mysterio out of a powerbomb and then doing it on top of Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. One thing, and I don't know. Again, we don't know behind the curtain what it's like, but I feel like the smaller guys, when they get Rey Mysterio, take a little bit more liberties with him. Like, I can actually fuck this guy up. And, like, AJ Styles, throw him in the goddamn mat, like, hard as shit twice.
Maybe,
and
maybe Rey says to do it.
I know, but, like, fuck, man. Let's be a little kind to the fucking 22-year vet with CTE.
With CTE? You don't know.
He has to.
Yeah. I mean, Nash gave it to him at least, right? When he,
when Big Show, when he fucking, when Big Show had him in that stretcher and threw him up against the ring post, remember that? God damn.
One of my lasting memories of NWO is Nash just lawn darting him, like, right into the side of the damn truck.
Well, the only cool moment I thought Big Show ever had was when he took Rey Mysterio off that stretcher and fucking swung him like a baseball bat against a ring post.
God, that was so crazy.
Anyhow, I just thought AJ Styles went a little too, like, hey, man, be nice. Of all people, you should get this. I just have always felt like smaller guys go like, well, I can beat this one up and he's going to feel my pain. And it's like, easy, guys. Be nice to old Ray Ray.
Yeah. All right. What else have we done? Oh, yeah. Naomi beat Billie Kay. There's nothing there that excites me.
Yeah. I will say this, though, and fast forwarding to the Iconics losing again on SmackDown, so we don't have to cover that. But the backstage promo that Billie Kay and Peyton Royce cut was phenomenal. So Billie Kay just keeps on doing this, you got to be joking me. That's her phrase. Right. And it's so, like, it's awkward and it's Australian. And it's just, it catches my ear, right? So I like that. But then Peyton Royce goes into this whole diatribe about how, well, 2 weeks ago, I was dehydrated.
Yes.
Well, this week, I was too hydrated, right. And now my belly hurts. And then right. If I take an elbow to the chest, what do you think is going to happen to my kidneys? Of course I'd lose a match like that. Right. And I just – they're doing really well champion jobbers, you know, chicken shit champs. They're a little bit more likable than the Baron Corbin, right. But it falls along the same lines of like, you guys fucking suck. Like, you guys are the ones that says a joke in class and you're the only one that laughs, but you keep telling fucking jokes. It's like, stop it.
Yeah. All right, well, then we got The Miz, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and The Miz still just not buying the face routine. And Baron Corbin, we talk like he gets the, I genuinely don't like this guy. Drew McIntyre, he gets more of a, like, I genuinely don't like this guy, but, like, I'm just going to shut up and let him do whatever he's got to do so he'll just move on and not hurt me vibe. You know what I mean? Because you do see me and you're like, yeah, of course that guy would, you know what I mean? If he's just going to come in and, like, steal whatever he wants from me, what the fuck am I going to do about it, right? Like, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, of course.
Yeah, I do like this. This babyface run of Miz is better than the first time, right? There's a little bit more I can buy into. He's fighting for his family.
Sure.
There's a little bit more relatable content that I can get behind. I just want him. I want him to be a bad guy booked as a babyface. That's what makes him awesome. If he tells you how fucking cool he is and then he can actually prove it and then heels are beating him up because he's proving it,
right.
That's fucking
way
money.
Cooler.
Like,
way cooler, that's right. Then he's the most must-see, you know what I mean? Right.
And again, you know, I feel like I beat this dead horse every time I can, but going back to ECW, what made RVD so fucking cool is he acted like a heel. But then he would get beat up by the heels, and then you felt sympathetic for him. So he was a likable, cool guy. Like, he was the fucking – he would do the Rolling Thunder and, like, look at you and, like, that was cool. And you had to be like, yeah, man, that was really fucking cool.
It was really cool. Right.
Yeah. And so that's what Miz needs to do more of is his wrestling style isn't, you know, GIF-worthy or GIF-worthy and, you know, highlights and viral videos kind of stuff. But he needs to cut those promos that he did when he was a heel on Daniel Bryan, and then we go like, that's our dude. That's what he needs to do more of.
Yeah. Sami Zayn, what are you thinking?
Love it. Although, I want to see him wrestle. I love watching Sami Zayn wrestle. One thing that I feel, and maybe the first babyface to go at him will say this, but I felt this way when anyone kind of tells me like, oh my God, this other thing was so cool. I just want to say, look, then go there. Fucking go there. Like, if the vacations were great, go back. You're like, especially in WWE, you're not needed. There's
right.
We missed you 9 months and we had a WrestleMania that worked just fine. Like nothing missed a beat. It also feels like following Sami Zayn's social media, like I do, cause I am a fanboy. It does feel at his age, you know, generally speaking, people will change professions, right? In the early to mid 30s, that's when you start to see people transition from X career to another career, and then they start down a different path. It kind of feels like, and I listened to this podcast episode with Edge and Christian where it was genuinely like, he's like, I didn't really miss wrestling that much. I really enjoyed traveling. It feels like if I'm Dr. Filling it over here, podcast style, it feels like Sami Zayn maybe should be trying to do something else.
Right.
Like, he's done everything he's wanted, and now it's just spinning the wheels.
Kind of what we thought about CM Punk when we were like, hey, man,
right.
You still like him anymore.
Yeah,
still,
it's like,
dude, just shut up about it.
Now, Sami Zayn,
this is a right.
Yeah, now we don't know if Sami Zayn's as disgruntled as CM Punk was and looked. CM Punk looked fucking horrible at the end of his WWE career, like a fucking shell of a human. But going to Sami Zayn, maybe if we're, you know, shooting here, maybe it's time for him to go somewhere else. Now, I don't want him to do it because he's one of my favorites. But if I was a friend of whatever his real name is, maybe I'm telling him, hey, go into, I don't know, holistic fucking therapy or whatever you hippies do with trees and shit.
At Chris Mercado 23 on Twitter, which, by the way, any new listeners, you can play along on Twitter. Use hashtag tweet the table. He says, all Sami Zayn has to do at this point is speak. He draws heat like an oven, and he's also more than capable of being the ultimate underdog. Is he the best heel on Raw? Hashtag tweet the table. That's got to be Corbin, right? Best heel?
Yeah. Yeah, because people, even when Sami Zayn was cutting that promo and he was blaming the fans, you had fans like, yeah, you're right. And it's like, well, that's not what we want. But with Baron Corbin, everyone is like, fuck that guy.
At bartender underscore all WC, speaking of Dean, said Dean's highly publicized last match was last night. Yeah, this was. Came in a while ago. Says, but he hasn't been taken off of the current superstar roster. Goldust has been placed on the alumni section. Andrade and Black have been placed back on the SmackDown Live roster, but they didn't move Dean to the alumni. Work. Hashtag tweet the table.
Yeah. Look, it's the world
or
of pro wrestling.
Taking a break.
Yeah. I don't think that right now he's backstage at a house show of whatever touring brand Raw, you know, whatever city Raw is in right now. Right.
Right.
Like, I don't think he's doing that. I think he is maybe legit home taking a nap or something.
Traveling.
But yeah, but I would not be shocked at Survivor Series. The fifth member of team fill in the blank is Dean Ambrose.
Yep. Yep. Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, and Cesaro wins. So,
well, you know, the one thing that you can count on, it feels like for the last 10 years maybe, is that Cesaro with an athletic wrestler will give you a match that is high quality, right? The Cesaro, Sami Zayn, going back to Sami Zayn, match, and then the two out of threes is what put NXT on the map.
Yep.
And so I feel like what they're doing with Cedric Alexander is like, we need to make this guy a star. Well, who can we do that with? Well, you can always count on Cesaro. And so I feel like that's what they're doing, especially with Sheamus being hurt.
Yeah, he is just he's just an athlete. I mean, the guy's just,
He's fucking awesome. You know, going to SmackDown, we're all behind Kofi Kingston, which now it's starting to get a little cool with the Kevin Owens heel turn.
Right.
But the next guy, can we get behind organically if we're just picking fucking people that's been there forever? Can we get behind Cesaro?
Yeah, I mean, that dude.
He can cut just of a believable promo as Kofi. His matches are on par, different
languages.
Style.
Six, right? Or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Let's make Cesaro a fucking champ if we're just going to pick guys that have been there a while and say them.
Yeah. All right. The Usos and Revival backstage promo I really liked. That was fun.
The Usos. Well, fucking awesome. Referencing the drunk driving incidents they both had. Thought that was perfect. And then the falling asleep while the Revival
gave their
promo. Yes. And then waking up and be like, we thought, I just had a dream that these two guys challenged us to a fight, which is like, that's what you're getting to. Like, let's just get to the fucking point. I love it. Usos are so great,
The best. They're the best.
They're the best.
They're the fucking best. All right. At Katie First Lady says, the Viking Raiders this week. Their new gimmick should be, what's their name this week? Hashtag tweet the table.
Yeah, and I think their new finisher it has a new name, and their finisher is called the Viking Experience.
Yeah. So I think that's what came out, is that they didn't actually have the full rights, or they couldn't necessarily fully trademark War Raiders. So they needed something, and they couldn't just do Vikings, because you're not going to be able to trademark that either. So they went with Viking Experience, and then the blowback from that, they were like, okay, never mind, and then came up with this, I guess. So,
Yeah, and hey, cut him some slack, right? Remember at one time, Mick Foley brought this up when it was the Viking Experience. It was Kane the Undertaker, and then they just cut it to the Undertaker. So, you know, let's not act like, God damn it, how can you make a mistake? It was
Steve
a mistake.
Austin was
stupid.
The ringmaster. You know?
Right. It was a mistake, but let's credit them for at least saying, okay, hey, we'll concede. Let's try this. Yeah.
And this fits. That fits. Right. You don't have to explain it. You can be like,
I get it.
Whoa, who are these Vikings? Oh, they're the Viking Raiders. All right. Right?
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
You can make a story
that checks
off of
all
that.
The boxes.
Easy money. Hawkins and Ryder backstage. They didn't really move the needle for me much. Becky Lynch, Alicia Fox. Oh, we have a tweet at the table about this. Hold on. At @B_DD says, how the hell has Alicia Fox not been future endeavored yet? Hashtag tweet the table.
Well, and you know what?
She's got pictures.
You know, yeah, something, but, or she's sucking someone off back there. Mm. And that's, I don't mean that to be like, oh, that's the only way women can get ahead. I'm just saying, it seems like something. Yeah, she could be doing it to a girl too, right? Definitely. But here's where I'm getting a little angry. I got angry while I was watching that fucking shit show of a match because Alicia Fox is a gimmickless fucking hack of a wrestler.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, if we're peeling back the curtain, believing Dave Meltzer or whoever it was that reported it, her drunk ass got fucking Arn Anderson fired. So fuck her.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, get out of here. You got Arn Anderson fired.
And you suck.
You got Uncle Arn fired.
And you suck.
And you suck. Arn Anderson doesn't suck.
Yeah, it's not even like we could say, like, man, that talent. Like, you know, when Mike Tyson was beating every heavyweight and going through all those trainers because he was a shit fucking person, you'd be like, well, you know, he's still knocking people out.
Alicia Fox.
Fucking Alicia Fox sucks.
How many Alicia Foxes would it take to equal the value of an Arn Anderson to your organization?
Infinity. And then it still comes up short.
Infinity.
She's the worst. Still comes up short.
All right. So Lacey Evans, we're going to get Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans as one of Becky Lynch's matches mortified.
Yeah. Right. What do you think about that? Becky Two Belts doing Becky Two matches.
Why not? How fun is that? She's going to win them both.
You think so?
Yeah, she's coming away with Becky Two Belts.
I think now it depends on the order of the match. I think whoever's that second match gets the title, and that's how we get the two belts off. So let's just say it's Lacey Evans and Becky. Becky wins. You know, she went through a grueling match. Charlotte picks up the pieces, wins the SmackDown title, or vice versa.
Well,
right?
So
she goes through a grueling match.
Unless they're just going to have Becky, they just are immediately like, nah, you're not doing two brands. We're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to split that up quick, right? Like, then, yeah, then they'd give it to Charlotte, right? I just don't see Lacey Evans taking a title away immediately, but who knows?
Huh? Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, fucking Zack Ryder and, The other guy is the fucking tag champs. What's his name? Kurt Hawkins? Kurt Hawkins is the fucking tag champs, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
They fucking play with pro wrestlers, and now that gets them over?
Yeah.
Major wrestling brother bullshit? Right. Fuck off.
All right,
dorks.
At B_DD also, he says, Robert Roode looks like, well, I mean, somebody should check his hard drive. That's all I'm saying. Hashtag tweet the table. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Robert Roode, the fucking man's man, Tom Selleck, Magnum PI, 1980s, wearing loafers with no socks, fucking Miami Vice. Yeah, all the way. God damn, I love it. I do.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you can't help but look at it and be like, all right, that's impressive. That looks, you know what I mean? Like, it looks, why wouldn't you, if you could do it, why wouldn't you look like that, right?
Well, yeah, and to further that point, you know, we watch a business that's built on being memorable and long lasting. And that's a fucking person. I will remember his face.
Yeah.
You know, before it was just that guy. Now it's like, fucking look at that mustache.
But
Mustache
I like
Mondays. That should be his fucking t-shirt. Mustache Mondays. And it's just a fucking mustache. And it says Mustache Monday. That's what it should say. As long as he's on Raw.
I like that. And I like it too. Like, we don't need a whole, like, when we say, like, we need a story, it doesn't always have to be a whole lot. I just need a believable thing. He's like, yeah, well, that guy left. I kind of realized he kind of sucked. You know what I mean? I'm here now. I'm tired of being this, you know, I fell into the gross. I'm not being all happy, giddy for you. I'm here to, you know what I mean? I'm here to make money and win some championships. You're going to call me Robert Roode, damn it. I'm not Bobby.
Yeah, I'm a man. Yeah. Right, Bobby is the fucking boys that play with their toys. Right. I'm a fucking man with a mustache.
Right. Look at me.
God damn it.
Ask your lady if
who's
she thinks I'm
Bobby. Who's sucking my dick? Like, he should just walk around just yelling that in the women's locker room. Who's sucking my dick?
Hey, Bobby, Robert, if you're listening, don't take Tom's advice here. Do not.
I'm not saying rape someone. I'm just saying you're a man.
Don't walk around the thing either.
Take someone's steak and just yell, who's sucking my dick? That should be your whole promo right there.
The final one from @B_DD says, Machine Gun Carl Anderson and King Ricochet @KingRicochet should tag for a bit. I mean, the potential tag team names would just write themselves. #TweetTheTable. Yeah. No. I'm not feeling Carl Anderson either. All right. he can go away too. All right.
I think he is, isn't he?
I think he is too. At the Iceman Forever says, what's your thoughts on the Firefly Funhouse? I'll give it a chance to see where it leads. Hashtag tweet the table.
So let me share and then I'll let you go because mine's not as in depth as yours. I will say, as I said with Robert Roode, in a business where you have to be captivating and memorable, that is a captivating and memorable introduction. I honestly thought, because so much of the crossover, like for example, Big E was doing some voiceover work on Adult Swim, I thought I was on the wrong channel. And I thought Bray Wyatt was doing like a special appearance on an Adult Swim type of segment. So right. I had to hit the information and go like, am I watching Monday Night Raw?
Yeah.
And for me, the snarkiest of snark, you know, marks that there are, or however you want to categorize me in the IWC, I fell for what I was watching. So credit to him. That's what I'll say.
I mean, I'm definitely going to give it a chance, right? I mean, you gotta. It's definitely different than what we've seen before, but still holding true to a character. So it's a character progression. I do like that. I just worry about the Bray Wyatt thing because he can go too far into the deep end, right? He goes past that kind of valley, right? Mm-hmm. Like he just moves. It gets hard to follow at times, right? He gets too deep in, and I really want to like the guy, you know. And I think it's more about what's his name. He's Wyndham Rotunda, isn't that who he is? I really want to like that guy, right? Because he clearly puts a lot of time, a lot of effort, mm-hmm. a lot of thought into mm-hmm. these things, right? That he's has to practice, right? So I don't know, man. If all of it would change too, if there was some juice behind it, right? If he was winning something. If you know what I mean, like where it went wrong before was he never won, he always lost.
Yeah, that aspect of Bray Wyatt, I it was so hard because he was supposed to be this demonic cult leader and no one followed him except for two rejects that stood behind him, or three at one point, but yeah, two rejects, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where I get nervous with this iteration of Bray Wyatt is he's like pushing down who he really is, this evil Bray Wyatt, right? So he's trying to push it down and he's trying to, you know, a sheep a wolf in sheep's clothes, right? Like he's trying that thing. Where I fear it's going to go, because wrestling just goes like, well, you guys know what's going to happen, is we're going to have him do a babyface match 1 week and then attack the guy the next week. You know, he'll lose the babyface match. Let's do a rematch. And then he'll shake his hand and then he'll go heel. And now we've just got a generic bad guy again, right? Where he just looks different, but he's still loser Bray Wyatt. That's where I fear it's going to go.
I think he's still the heel character. I think he's still going to be dark and weird with this. But I'm hoping for a little more like early Gold Dust weird, where it was like just, you know what I mean? We don't know what this is. He's messing with people's minds. You know what I mean? Like,
if he messes kind of with people's minds, I'm 100% in.
Right.
I just got nervous because the first thing that we saw was he said to us, I used to be this bad guy, but we saw these little hints that it's still bubbling within him. And then it's just like, okay, then we go right back to Bray Wyatt.
It's like Bray Wyatt turned into Pee Wee Herman. It's just, it's odd. Definitely. But it's piqued my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I showed Rusev my son. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, Rusev mentioned that, you know, Jim Carrey is doing this one show where he's this tormented man, but every day he's playing Mr. Rogers. And it's this whole dichotomy of like, I go home, I hate myself, I'm on the verge of suicide, people annoy me, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. But my day job is, won't you be my neighbor? Hey, kids, you know, the future's bright, yada, yada, yada.
That's something that's
that is
right
an
now.
Interesting character. Yeah, he's doing it on Showtime. It's a series. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's an interesting character.
I mean, yeah, so there could be something like that to this. So who knows? I guess we'll see more. So I definitely, but I did show it to my son because he saw the box videos before, right? And he was like, what is that? You know what I mean? So I showed him that. And he was like, I don't ever remember WWE doing weird stuff like this. And I was like, it's because you're young. I was like, they used to be full of weird stuff like this. And that was some of the fun stuff. And I was like,
Goldust kissed Ahmed Johnson one time. It was fucking awesome.
Right. Okay, so then AJ Styles won, and you know, we kind of got into that. So that was
Raw.
Yeah. Yep. Any parting words for Raw before we...
Like I said, I like that the AJ Styles, Seth Rollins. Like you said, though, I agree. Babyface with no story. I got to have some juice. Got to have some meaning. Got to have some rivalry injected into it. But I'm 100% down for it.
Right. Okay, so SmackDown, we open up the whole Shane, Roman Reigns, Elias thing going on. How do you feel about this now? I kind of like it.
I hate it. And this is why. I don't hate the storyline. I like a Roman Reigns, Shane McMahon, eventual payoff and everything. This is what I hate. You know, we spent X amount of weeks telling the WWE creative and WWE executive team, Kofi deserves a chance. And they say, okay, cool. But here's the caveat. He's a mid-carder. He just happens to have that belt.
Right.
Like, we've taken him out of the signature storyline because Roman Reigns. And that's what I dislike. Roman Reigns needs to be in the mid-card with Shane McMahon, you know, getting the 7:45, 8:45 segment. Kofi needs to be kicking off the show with Big O and talking about how the championship is so meaningful, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I think they've come out, though, and said that they don't follow that same format anymore because they base it on, like, totally different.
They do. Yeah. They do. This, you know what this feels like? It feels like when CM Punk was the champion, but John Cena and Rise Above Hate was the fucking signature storyline with Kane.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. And that's why I don't like it.
Well, that's exactly what it is. But no, but I do
that's
like
what we don't like about Roman Reigns.
Yeah. But I do like this the way it's playing out. I like the Elias now being in favor of the McMahons. That's a good, you know what I mean? I like that.
And it makes sense because they validated him by saying he was the biggest acquisition in SmackDown.
Right.
So of course he would be friends with the McMahon. Right. So I like that. And I like that I liked the start of that Shane Roman thing where Roman was like, I'm not going to fucking talk to you. We know why I'm in this ring.
Right.
And then Shane was like, all right then, motherfucker. Yeah, I know why you're in this ring. Like, that's a cool, because that's how shit happens sometimes. You don't talk things out and have like these fucking Spider-Man last word bullshit things with the villain. You just go like, oh, we're fighting. Oh, we're fighting. Like, that's sometimes how it happens.
It's like, yeah. Oh, you want to fucking go?
I like it. That was a cool segment. But again, the placement of it just makes me immediately go, oh, so Roman's the champion here.
Yeah.
I get it. It's on Kofi, but Roman's the champion here. And that's fucking depressing.
Well, then we cut backstage. I like the foreshadowing in hindsight of Big O being like, I know you're going to win tonight. And you know why? You know what I mean? Like, I like kind of how they led that through that. Like, it shows a good, well thought out throughout the night thing.
Well, and that proves another point that's been said, it feels like, time and time again. You know, Kevin Owens, when you say, hey, Kevin, here's the ball, he's going to give you a story, right? Now, we don't know who to credit for the Chris Jericho Kevin Owens story, but that was a great story. The payoff at WrestleMania was a little weak, but that was a great story. The stories that him and Sami Zayn have told in all of the promotions, NXT, Ring of Honor, et cetera, have been something that you can sink your teeth into. So this doesn't shock, it shouldn't shock anyone, but it proves to me, like, let's make Kevin Owens the fucking focal point of the goddamn show because he'll always deliver something interesting.
Well, and our final tweet the table tonight at Mr. Fourth Row says it kind of best. He's like, he said, I really like having a Big O on SmackDown Live, hashtag tweet the table. Yeah, I feel like now we're going to get robbed. I was starting to get into Big O, you know what I mean? But
that's what makes it great.
Right.
You leave them wanting more because then if you ever do get yourself, you know, painted into a corner and you need to get out, have a baby face return of Big O with the New Day, right? Like,
that,
you can go to
that. It's that highlight film for his, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, thing when all the clips, then there's the Big O. Because, guy, he almost sounded like Big E when he started to do the, right? I was like, oh, man, Big O. Like, he improved this week. I was like, God, that was good.
And you can, and you want to leave him wanting more. And that's what they did with me, at least. So I love
it. Yeah, me too, because I am. I'm sitting here like, oh, man. No more Big O. That was fun. All right. So, Andrade back. And I kind of – so when I heard that they were sending them back because of the whole, you know, relationships and everything, so then they got to send back these people.
Well, and Fox.
And Fox, right. Yeah. So Fox wanted Mexicans on SmackDown is what they said. But that didn't happen until October. I mean, you had time, but whatever. But then also, maybe him and Charlotte might be possibly engaged. I don't know, that's a rumor that's out there. Well, and then you got to send Zelina Vega because she's part of the deal there, right? And then, well, then you got to send Black, right? So I heard all that, and I was like, cool, but give me a story, right? And then I started thinking, I was like, man, I'm already assigning the fact that they're not going to give me a storyline, right? Like, I was like, already. And they tried to give us something, right? Like, he's like, I'm here to, you know what I mean? Like, ruin the.
Well, I like the attempted story, right? So what he said essentially was, hey, you are the Intercontinental Champion on Raw. I went to Raw because I want to become Intercontinental Champion. I beat you. You run to SmackDown. So this thing isn't over. So now I'm going to get that title from you. So I'm coming back to SmackDown because I'm going to be champ. Love that. That was good.
Right. Well, it's an easy sell. Thing I liked, I demanded to come back here and they had it right. Yeah.
Because I want that title. Right. Yeah. Easy sell. I believed it 100% if, you know, again, we're saying this is all real.
Okay,
I also like, because I get tired of just Blackishay. I like that Ricochet and Aleister Black are now separating. Because it didn't make any sense. It were fine, but also get the fuck out of here.
Why was it a non-title match? He beat him. He should have got a title match.
I don't know.
Especially if you were going to have Balor win. Like, what does it matter?
Match,
you asshole.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And then they got Elias backstage in a challenging him via song, which was cool. And then I even like how Shane's like, really, that's what you're gonna do? And he's like, all right, he won't accept anyway, right? Like, let's get out here.
Yeah,
let's go. Yeah, that was fun. And here we go again with the tell me a story. Kairi Sane and now Asuka, we had, at least with the cartoon Sky Pirates, that was the Sky Pirates. Great. Why didn't you just bring me the Sky Pirates? Now it's Sky Pirate and Asuka, and I'm left with, why is Asuka hanging around with a Sky Pirate now? And we got to do the two entrances thing again, which is like, come on. I hate that. Like, if they could find out a way, what's a way, Tom, in 2019 where people have ADD, our entertainment's gotten this much quicker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody do this math for me. How much of the 3 hours of show is taken up by music and entrances? It's probably a third.
And we've talked about that, I think, at WrestleMania when you were over here. I think the entrances should be what makes it special to go to the show, right? Like, you get to see Aleister Black's fucking entrance at WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and when you're there. And you don't get to see it on SmackDown every week.
Right. Or because at least the pay-per-views, right? Like, save that shit for that.
You get it for the pay-per-views and if you go to the show. Because the other thing, if you ever go to a show, that still makes zero fucking sense, and they did this, they almost shot themselves in the foot when they did the Bayley and Charlotte segment, and then they had a match up. Well, then they went to commercial break, and then they did some, like, We Do Make-A-Wish thing, but you could see behind the Make-A-Wish graphic, it was just Charlotte and Bayley standing in a ring.
Yeah.
Couldn't you time out a show better to where, again, if you're going to have commercial breaks, that's when they're walking out. So the crowd gets to see the Bayley inflatable things. They're talking about it. That makes you want to go to a show because you get to see the entrance. And then the pacing of the show doesn't have two fucking wrestlers just standing in a ring when you come back from wrestling or come back from a commercial break. But yeah, I agree with you. I think entrances need to be more specialized and more important for the live audience, because that's who's really getting the benefit of it.
Yeah, it's just on TV. Like, I'm like, oh my god, we sit through so much of it, and that is not entertaining television. Like, it is not.
And with graphics, you can put a lower third of who they are. Yada yada, boom boom. There you go. Yeah, I agree with you.
And then this here, Kairi Sane's going over Peyton Royce, and then the villain wrote what, Fire and Desire, or whatever the hell they were. They stopped calling them that, I guess. Right.
Whatever. Yeah. What it was fast forward. That's what it was. So what was next after that?
Jinder Mahal is here.
Fast forward. Chad Gable's in the second. I know. I love him. Lars Sullivan.
Lars.
Whatever.
Yeah. Lars.
So fast forward. What happened after that?
Seriously, what is the deal with Lars? Anyway, let's see. Moving on. Oh, yeah. So we had the Charlotte Becky showdown. The Bayley comes out. Okay, out of this whole thing, what I like the most was I like Bayley's squaring up with Charlotte, right? When she was like, you're not even, you're beneath me or whatever. And she just freaking like chest bumps right up in her face. I was like, oh shit. And Becky's reaction to that, that was great.
And Becky's line about how Charlotte is a web that management won't untangle her from.
Right.
Fucking, that was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Cause yeah. And then even Bailey alluded to it. Like, how do you just get these opportunities all the time? Like,
yeah,
stop
like,
it.
I do want the other chance. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I liked all of that. I like where they're going with Bailey now. Like it's a little, you know what I mean? It's a little more.
Well, unfortunately she lost.
Well, yeah. So, which again, why? Why?
Yeah. Why would you do all of that? Why? And then just have her lose.
Everybody, the backlash you got when you were like, and Charlotte Flair with Becky, everybody was like, God damn it. And then you're just going to immediately, her first, like, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
And I thought, again, you could have leaned into it a little bit more asshole-like to make us really hate Charlotte. Because you know what I would have done if I hired T-Mac? This is T-Mac story time. Just a small caveat where Charlotte and Becky are doing that promo. Becky hits her with that one-liner where management or you're a tangle that management won't let me untangle from, you know, all that stuff, you know? And then Charlotte could have just gone like, oh, okay, I'll show you that I earned the number one contenders match. Bring me a wrestler. And it's just a fucking jobber. And you go like, God damn it. Like, Charlotte's going to beat a jobber. And then she's like, of course I am, you dumb bitches. And beats a jobber. And then you go like, fuck. So then she's not beating Bailey, who just, hey, I'm new to SmackDown and I lose. Like,
right.
So you're protecting that, and then you're leaning into the heat of Charlotte winning over fucking no reason at all, and then a jobber just gets beat up and fucking fine for them, right? Like, everyone wins in that situation. Hire T-Mac.
Yeah. All right, then we roll into the main event. Kofi, Shinsuke, non-title match, and then, of course, you know, the fallout is, you know, the Owens heel turn. What are your thoughts, man?
I like, if you notice, hopefully, Kevin Owens got rid of Xavier Woods with the powerbomb on the apron. So the one thing that I told you that I was kind of like, hey, I want Kofi here.
Right,
so now
right.
Big E is legit out, right? And now that powerbomb, kayfabe, has Xavier out. So now we get to see the champion, the number one guy, as we're told, on SmackDown, stand on his own and fight to solidify himself as quote unquote the man, not Becky Lynch, but the man. And that's what I like. So it actually, everything laid out perfectly. And it gives a viable, like, asshole number one heel who has some credibility because he's former Universal Champion to be the first contender for Kofi's title. So I like now, it. I like everything about it.
Do we still feel that they, based on the racial aspect of Kofi's victory that we had initially said, well, he's going to have this for a little bit, right? Like, he's not going to lose it to the first guy. But now, I don't know, could they want to put all this heat on Owens? And
yeah, because you know who he loses that belt to?
Mm.
The number one guy on SmackDown, fucking Roman Reigns.
Right,
you're going to have Roman Reigns beat Kofi Kingston. So you got to have a transitional champ. Well, who's the transitional champ? A credible champ in Kevin Owens.
He's booked the next couple. There we go.
God damn it. I hate when I'm right.
That's it, man. All right. Hashtag hire T-Mac. I know you're listening, Vince. I know you're listening. I know you're.
Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're listening, Paul and Steph.
Yeah.
On your next drive to the next town.
Mm-hmm. You're fucking or working out, whatever you guys are doing, and whatever ungodly hour you guys do. Thanks for listening to the show while you do it, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the show while you do it, though. And hashtag hire T-Mac.
And you too, common folk. Thank you for listening while you do your things, too.
Mm-hmm. Whatever things you might be getting into, you know.
Yeah.
Well, all right, then we will get out of here for this week, and we will come back for episode 258 next week of the Spanish Announce Table.
Fun fact, in 2000, Scott Hall wrestled 3 matches in 2 days for the original ECW.
The Spanish Announce Table.